And welcome to Community Watch and Comment for Tuesday, December 16th. I'm Dave Rabin. On today's show, DMV issues in 2015. For D.C., Jews United for Justice's Jacob Feinspan. For Maryland, Progressive Maryland's Larry Stafford. And last but not least, Virginia, WPFW's own Mark Levine. Don't change that dial. And we're back with you here on Community Watch and Comment. I'm Dave Rabin. And Virginia doesn't have a new governor or mayor coming in next year. What Virginia appears to have is a fair amount of stalemate that's going to make things tough for Virginia Democrats. And joining us to talk about Virginia politics is a man that needs no introduction to our listeners, our own Mark Levine. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. And give a call if you want to talk to Mark, 202-588-0893. And don't be nervous, Mark. Just relax. You'll be okay.
Thank you.
if you ever hear him at 6 o'clock on with Garland Nixon, 6 o'clock on Fridays, you'll know that that is clearly a joke.
Yeah, and, I'm not very shy.
No, yeah, shy is not a problem here. Let's talk for starters about the Virginia Senate. A lot of people might not be aware of why it is now pretty much under the control of Republicans. There's a certain former Democratic senator that resigned last summer. If you could talk about Phil Puckett.
So basically, there was a stalemate in the Virginia legislature for some time with Republicans controlling the House of Delegates by a pretty large margin, but the Democrats were just managing to hold on to the Senate. The Senate was split 20-20, and in fact, Democrats won two close races. There were special elections to hold that. They elected a lieutenant governor, a Democratic lieutenant governor, and so the Democrats just managed, with a tie vote and lieutenant governor to control the Senate. And then, well, Phil Puckett came along. Phil Puckett's from southwestern Virginia. His daughter wanted to be a judge. They said, well, we can't let your daughter be a judge while you're in the Senate. You can't vote for that. So he started making deals. He said, well, why don't you get me a seat on a tobacco commission, and why don't you get my daughter to be a judge? And Republicans said, sure, if you'll resign, meaning giving us control of the Senate, we'll give you all that. Then he went to the Democrats and tried to get some bargains from Terry McAuliffe. He spoke with the chief of staff there. They offered him some things, but not as sweet as the Republican deal. They bought him off. He lost, and given southwestern Virginia and where it is, they pretty easily did a special election to make it Republican. So, yes, the Republicans bought off Senator Phil Puckett. In fact, there was even a request to indict him, but they found out that no laws were broken. Apparently, this kind of bribery is legal in Virginia. It's kind of hard to know, frankly, what is legal in terms of bribing politicians. Of course, our former governor, Bob McDonnell, just got convicted, and it may indeed serve up to 10 years in prison. He didn't think the stuff he was paid was bribes, but Virginia really, it's getting very ugly in terms of corruption.
Right. This day. Virginia's Thomas Jefferson is undoubtedly turning over in his grave.
The Virginia Way actually used to be a way where people were proud of the fact that Virginia was a state that didn't have a lot of corruption. It's full of it. And meanwhile, at the same time, Governor McAuliffe is trying very hard to do Medicaid expansion, which sounds fancy and expensive. Actually, it costs the state nothing. It's allowing the state to receive money already on the table by the federal government to give tens of thousands, really more like hundreds of thousands.
I think it's $400,000.
Yeah, health care. Yeah. Yeah. And the Republicans say, no, we want poor Virginians to suffer. We want poor Virginians to be sick. We want them to die. We don't want them to have this free health care. So McAuliffe says, why don't we take money that's already there? It doesn't cost us a penny so that tens of thousands of Virginians may live, 400,000 will get health care. And Republicans said, no, it's divisive. It's divisive to tell people that we want them to die. Please don't let them know that. It happens to be true, but it's divisive. And, well, I got to give Governor McAuliffe credit for trying again. I got to say, though, that if you're a working-class person in Virginia and you vote for Republicans, it's kind of a bit like attacking your own family because you're basically saying, we don't want free health care, and I don't understand why anyone would do that.
But right, right. I mean, but if a Republican were sitting here defending their position, they would say, hey, that it's only free for, what, 3 years, and then we're going to have to pony up.
Well, it's free for 3 years. And then it's true that Virginia would have to pay 10% of the cost of the program. However, the Democrats actually made a deal with Republicans. They said, I'll tell you what, we'll take it free for 3 years, and then we'll end the program. And that way, Virginia will never have to pay a penny. Republicans said, no, if poor people in Virginia get health care for free, they're going to like it. And because they're going to like it, we know they're going to want it to continue. And because we don't want poor people in Virginia to have free health care, I guess they hate poor people, I don't know. We know it'll be politically difficult for us 3 years from now. So in order to save our political hides, we'll just let all these people suffer. It's an amazingly cynical thing, but that's the Republican Party in Virginia.
Have you heard about cuts to school districts since 2008? I think there was a somewhat recent study that's showing that there have been larger cuts, something like $1,500 per student in poorer school districts in Virginia, and only $500 in cuts in wealthier school districts. Have you heard about this?
I haven't heard about that specific thing, but I do know there's a famous Supreme Court case that's maybe about 10, 20 years old now, where in Texas they were giving the students in rich areas four or five times the ones they were giving the ones in El Paso and poorer areas.
Right.
The Supreme Court said the discrepancy was large enough, they actually forced Texas to provide equality. So if this kind of thing goes on and it gets bad enough, hopefully that precedent will be remembered.
I mean, it's extraordinary, and it's not likely to change with the Republicans controlling both houses in Virginia.
I hope McAuliffe will do a good fight. He just introduced in his budget, he introduced again Medicaid expansion. I'm glad he's not giving up on it. I hope more people know about the issue, more Virginians. I don't think most working class Virginians, particularly those in not in Northern Virginia but in the southern part of the state, I don't think they realize that they can have free health care, and it's only because the Republicans in Virginia that they're not being allowed it. I just don't think that message is getting across, and I think people need to know it.
What do you think it's going to take for that message to get out there? I mean, it was in play all most of last year.
Part of it, I think, is the rhetoric. I think Medicaid expansion, one, puts you to sleep, and two, makes it sound like, there goes the government helping poor people again. It's larger than just poor people. It actually goes well into the lower middle class and some middle class. It's working people. It's not people without jobs. And the other thing is, it's already there. It doesn't cost Virginians a cent. It's part of the Affordable Care Act. I know Republicans like to demonize Obamacare, but when you take it apart and you look at the segments of it, people actually support each of its proposals, 60-70%. So I think it's a matter of people going down to Virginia and saying, oh, I'm sorry, I would treat you, but the Republicans in the House won't let me. I would give you free health care, but the Republicans, you know, billboards, you could have free health care, this guy, and show a picture of the Republican, will not let you have it. I mean, that kind of thing. I would do it.
Right. And Virginia has cut back, speaking of voting, Virginia's cut back on voter ID possibilities.
Yeah, now that's, of course, a trend that's going on all across the country. It's sad to see it here in Virginia. Basically, it is difficult for people of limited means to get a picture ID. And so that tends to be African Americans. It tends to be young people. It tends to be sometimes very older people. In fact, in Texas, the former Speaker of the House, Jim Wright, was not allowed to vote because his driver's license expired.
No kidding.
Yeah, that's true. That's they would not let him vote in Texas because he was 90-something years old. He didn't need to drive anymore. He let his driver's license expire. He did not have a valid photo ID. And, of course, that's a man who certainly could afford it and would just let it lapse. Basically, Republicans realize that the fewer the people that vote, the more likely they are to get elected. That's why we Democrats tend to do well in presidential years. Every 4 years, we actually do pretty good. We don't do well in midterms, and of course in Virginia, they have elections on the odd years, which are even less well attended than the midterm elections. And a lot of young people don't vote. A lot of minority communities don't vote. And the older white voters, the ones that tend to vote Republican, they still get out and vote. So as long as they can use voter ID to restrict the vote, they know they're going to win some. Now, obviously, some of us believe that the right to vote is sacrosanct, that people have fought and died for it, and that it's almost criminal to deny an American the right to vote. But obviously, again, the Republicans have put their partisan interest ahead of basic right. human rights.
And as you say, it's not just Virginia. It's happening
all across the country. North Carolina, country. Texas, Georgia, almost any state. Right.
Texas.
Right.
So what do you think, given that context, what do you think is likely to happen in the next election with the Senate? You think that the Democrats have a chance to take it back?
You know, I'm a perennial optimist. As angry as I am with the way things are, I always believe they can get better. I'd be fooling myself if I didn't say it was an uphill battle. As I said, the way it is with Republicans making it harder for people to vote, with young people and other typical Democratic communities not voting on the odd years. I'll tell you something, Dave. You know, I ran for Congress myself in June this year in a Democratic primary. Did not win. But
in Virginia.
For Congress. And the thing I found most disheartening was the percentage of eligible voters that voted in that June primary. The answer is 8%. Not 18, 8. It wasn't even 10%.
8%, again, of what sector?
Of eligible voters in Virginia 8%.
Voted. 8%.
So, and this, by the way, is in a highly Democratic district in the Democratic primary, where, of course, the congressional district just across the river from D.C., a lot of politically minded people in Alexandria, Arlington, and Fairfax counties, and only 8% turned out. And when people don't vote, bad things happen. And so if there's one message to get out to folks is please, every election, local election, national election, don't forget to vote.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think is going to happen in Richmond? Is McAuliffe going to be able to do much of anything? He's got houses. I mean,
it's going to be stalemate. I actually would have advocated a stronger stance even than McAuliffe has taken. I think he should have said, if you don't give me a health care for poor people that is already on the table, I'm going to veto the budget. And frankly, it might shut the government down. But basically say, look, health care for people is too important. And close up Virginia shop, make it a big battle, and at least people will recognize what's going on here. The Republicans do not want poor people to have health care. It would be in the news. People would focus on it. So while he's being strong, frankly, I would be even stronger. Of course, I'm not governor of Virginia. But,
right. well, but this is a Clinton Democrat, Terry McAuliffe. I mean,
well, that's right.
They can't shut down the government and then tell Republicans not to do it.
Well, no. You can always argue who's shutting it down. I mean, in this case, it doesn't cost Virginia anything to provide this health care. So all he has to do is say, look, it doesn't cost anything. All you have to do is allow me to do it. He tried that, by the way. He did try to a veto of the earlier budget, and they used some legislative shenanigans to go around him last time.
Mm-hmm.
But I do hope that he brings this issue because it's so important. I'll tell you, neighboring state, Kentucky, a red state, certainly not a state that's very favorable to Democrats, but there they had Medicaid expansion. Their working class people got health care, and they're so excited about it that even Mitch McConnell, well, he lied when he ran for Senate, but basically said, oh, I would shut down Obamacare, but I wouldn't shut down Kentucky Net. Which, of course, is Obamacare.
Right.
So, because it's so popular there, these programs, well, it's like Social Security and Medicare. You got to remember, Republicans opposed those every way they could when they started. And now, even today, I don't hear many Republicans saying, shut down Social Security, shut down Medicare. I don't even hear Paul Ryan saying that. I don't even hear, Newt Gingrich saying that.
Yeah.
Even Ted Cruz won't admit that he wants to shut down Social Security and Medicare, even though the biggest elections held, 1936, Alf Landon versus Franklin Roosevelt, the issue was Social Security. Republicans opposed it, and I believe Alf Landon won two states.
I think that's the election where FDR said, the Wall Street banking interests despise me and I invite their hatred.
Exactly.
Right.
So I think we take it to the people. I think these are issues that can win. The thing that I find most interesting is it tends to be rural, working-class white people that I think Democrats need to reach out to more. It's in their economic interest to vote for the Democrats, but for social reasons or, who knows, sometimes it's guns, sometimes it's religion. I'm sounding like the thing that got Obama in trouble. But I do think that sometimes these social issues hurt Democrats, but really when it comes down to economic issues, they'd be much better off if they voted for the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm. And turning to local issues, Arlington's streetcar plan bit the dust, if you could talk about that.
Sure. Arlington, it was very interesting. So Arlington, of course, is a heavily Democratic area. It's even bluer than my hometown of Alexandria. I think in the last election, we voted in Alexandria something like 72% for Obama, and Arlington voted 75% for Obama. So this is a heavily blue area. And yet Democrats were losing local elections. Alan House lost his local election to basically a Republican turned independent. And the whole issue was over a streetcar down Columbia Pike. And the question was whether this was a good or a bad idea. Actually, when they asked me when I was running for office, I said, let the people decide. Let's have a referendum. Let's let the Arlingtonians decide. But the board was really pushing the streetcar, and there were some problems with it. One of the main problems with it is that it would take a dedicated traffic lane for it. So you would lose traffic already in traffic-clogged Arlington. And a lot of people opposed it. And I think this local issue really woke up the board. The board had been criticized for things like having very expensive bus stops or an aquatic center. And even in true blue Arlington, they twice, both in the special election and even in the midterm election, voted for VSTAT, basically a Republican turned independent, almost entirely on the streetcar issue, and the streetcar got shelved. So democracy works. I think the streetcar is something that it may have been a good idea, but it wasn't sold well to the public. And at the end of the day, if the public doesn't want that to happen, it shouldn't happen.
Right. And it was something that was seen as helping South Arlington, which is relatively lower income residents.
Well, that's right. Yeah. That's right. And you know, you've got the metro in North Arlington, and that's why you've got such great economic opportunities in Clarendon and Ballston and Courthouse. And down Columbia Pike, a lot of folks in South Arlington said, hey, you know, we need sort of the same kind of growth here. I think if they had had a way to do it without cutting off traffic, if they had it without clogging traffic further, I think that it might have gone through. But yeah, the idea that you were going to actually lose a traffic lane made a lot of ordinary blue voters get pretty upset.
Okay, Mark, you've got 30 seconds to talk about Virginia Delegate Joe Morrissey.
If you can I don't want to speak to
that important issue. Oh, come on. We need
he's
a little
a
bit of juicy scandal here.
He's a 57-year-old who has basically admitted his tryst with a 17-year-old girl. He's probably going to serve some time in prison, 2-3 months for it.
But he's going to be able to serve time in prison at night and still be in the
That's right, and I think it's time that he resign. I'm a Democrat through and through. But,
and we should say this guy is a Democrat.
He is a Democrat. I'm sorry to say. I can't vouch for all Democrats. I think it's time he resign.
Yeah, yeah. We unfortunately are going to have to end it there. It's been great talking to you. WPFW's Mark Levine, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, David.
Take care, and thanks to Mike Nocella for his expertise in driving the show. And coming up, we've got the news with our esteemed news director, Iski Mohammed, and that's going to be followed by Don't Forget the Blues with Scooter Magruder. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Rabin.